Hey, it's Jonathan Van Ness. Americans United for Separation of Church and State defends your freedom to live as yourself and believe as you choose, so long as you don't harm others. Core freedoms like abortion rights, marriage equality, public education, and even American democracy itself rest upon the wall of separation between church and state. Christian nationalists are attacking these freedoms, seeking to force us all to live by their narrow beliefs. Americans United is fighting back. Freedom without favor and equality without exception. Learn more about AU at au.org/curious.
Darling, I was on a vacation recently and stayed at an Airbnb, and then I realized that while I was away, my empty house could be making money, honey. If you're someone like me that is busy and not home all the time, your home could be an Airbnb, and it's actually pretty simple to get started. Even if you don't have a whole house, you could start with just a spare room. Personally, I really enjoy staying at Airbnbs. I really do. I love a good Airbnb. Who is that? Come back, British you. And it really is a great way to like support local economy and support local people. So Airbnb is fabulous. And I know I was doing my British voice earlier, but we love Airbnb. So think about what you could do with some extra cash, whether you're looking to treat yourself to something nice, like a shopping spree or a spa day, or start a whole side hustle. Airbnb can help you be that person. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Let's face it, I'm not going to stop treating myself anytime soon, and neither should you. But what I should stop doing is paying for me time with whatever random credit card is in my wallet. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times the points on your spending. So what could future you do with better rewards? Honey, is it like a gorgeous free flight that you would have had to have paid for, but honey, you're saving that flight money? Is it a gorgeous room upgrade? Is it like a gorgeous like two-bedroom suite instead of a one-bedroom suite, so you're like in-laws or like your friend could stay over there in that room, so you don't have to like hear them doing whatever with what they're doing in your guys's room? Is it like really adulting? Oh, I love adulting. And you know what else I love? Is not waiting to make smart financial decisions. I also love paying my credit cards off in full every month because, like, yes, good credit. So let's, like, do try to do that and, like, making responsible decisions, which we love. But anyway, don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Welcome to Getting Curious. I'm Jonathan Van Ness, and every week I sit down for a 30-minute conversation with a brilliant expert to learn all about something that makes me curious. This week, the question is, who gave you permission to be so cute with my Queer Eye co-host, Karamo Brown? Well, kids, are we recording? Can we keep that part? I love that. It's so natural. It's so organic. We're Annie Leibovitz. We're fucking Annie Leibovitz. We have it. You can't talk because I'm going to do a gorgeous introduction right now.
Good.
Kids. We have such an exciting guest this episode. I'm so excited to announce Mike. What are you doing? I can already feel it. You guys, gorgeous Karamo's here. I'm so excited. Oh my God. You know what? It's funny, Karamo. I always used to do episodes of Getting Curious where I would try to incorporate like Instagram lives and like yes. little like, and then Colin would just want to kill me because it doesn't work and it doesn't make sense.
I'm not putting it up. I just want to grab a
phone. No. Like, I love that you I'm do, but it. I just mean in general, it's like this thing that I could never really quite figure out. Like, my brain can't wrap itself around it. Karamo, how was your day?
My day was phenomenal. And I'm so happy to be here. You know, I love Getting Curious. And on top of that, I love you so much. I just confessed to Jonathan that he is truly my boy crush.
You tell me that every time I see you.
Well, because I think you're one of the most gorgeous men I've ever seen in my life.
No, because you know what? It's like when people say, to be honest, and it's like, stop saying that so much.
No. So have I not told you since the very first day we met in casting that you were one of the most beautiful men?
I know, but you made me feel that so much. I already know that you feel like you're, like, I always feel gorgeous because of you. All you do is, like, give me, like, verbal affirmations all the time.
Sorry, it's the truth, you know?
Are you wearing some, you got some, like, did you change your...
My makeup?
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Yes,
did you switch to Fenty or something?
I did. No, I didn't switch to Fenty. I switched to...
It's more golden.
Yes, I'm doing a golden undertone
now. It's more golden. It's pretty.
Thanks for
yeah, I love it. It's really pretty.
Yeah, I'm doing... What's... What's the company you told
cover
me?
Cover Effects.
Cover Effects. This entire time, I'm using Cover Effects. Yes.
I love Cover Effects because it's makeup with skincare in it.
So I got to tell you something. You have been telling me to use Cover Effects since, what, 8 months ago?
Let me just say, this is not an advertisement.
Like, yeah, this is not.
They do not pay me. But my best friend Patty works with them, and I love them because they have skincare in all of their makeup. Yes. So it will not further any of the problems that you're trying to prevent from wearing makeup in the first place.
Yes. Yes.
So anyway.
And so you've been telling me to wear Cover Effects, but I'm really brand loyal. So I had my makeup that I was like, go. And especially since I do full coverage and a light beat, yep. I don't like to switch.
But you know those are... those are fighting statements. You can't have full coverage.
Full coverage and a light beat.
No.
You have
a heavy full coverage beat. I love it.
Thank you.
No. But also you don't make it look heavy, honey. She's gorgeous.
Thank you. Listen,
it looks like nothing but a BB cream, honey.
Thank you. I'm one of those gays that I have no shame in it. Like, for some reason, we like to shame. You've known me since day one. I'm always like, yeah, there's makeup on my face.
And
like,
which is gorgeous.
Yes. But anyway, so I was with Patty and...
Oh my God, it blows my mind that you literally, like, went to the, like, oh, my God.
Yes.
Oh, my God. That's just, that
She was so, I mean, like, everybody, if you don't know Jonathan's best friend, Patty, you have to know her. She's just the sweetest person. But it makes sense why you two are best friends, because you both have such sweet, kind energy. Seriously.
She, if you guys see my Instagram, she's the girl who I do the Beyonce dances with, sister.
Yes.
It's her sister.
Yes. Yes.
Because that girl who do I do the Beyonce dance with is now my, she's like my really best friend, but then Patty's my best friend, but then like now her sister too is like my, she just helps me with my life. She's like my assistant now. It's like so fierce.
Yeah.
But only because like I can't schedule my life, but this isn't about me. This is about you. And that actually leads me to the question.
Yes.
Of this episode, mm-hmm. which is who gave you permission to be so gorgeous with Karamo Brown, which is actually another way of asking like, where is you from? Like, what's your story? Why are you so cute?
You know.
What had happened was is you were born on a winter day.
I was. Actually, I was born on a really, really rainy day.
In
Houston, Texas.
In Houston, Texas.
To Jamaican parents. My mother and father are Jamaican. They're Jamaican and Cuban. My father's half Cuban. And which I don't think a lot of people know that.
No.
Yeah.
In my mind, he was just like a gorgeous Jamaican.
He's a Rastafarian, but he's half Cuban. His father's Cuban and mother's Jamaican.
Cute.
Yeah. See? That's a little information.
Yeah.
And my father, this is a funny, fun fact. My birthday is November 2nd. My uncle, and I'm the youngest of four girls. My uncle, who's the youngest of four girls, is November the 1st. And my grandfather, who's November 3rd, is the youngest of four girls.
Cute.
Isn't that crazy? Anyway, my mother was at a birthday party for my uncle, November 1st, drank too much, went into labor, and had me on a rainy day.
Wait, okay. My mom also may or may not have been frustrated on the night before my birthday, 31 years ago. And she actually had like two very large margaritas the night before she had me. She was in very much pain. And I was like, Anne, which is actually my grandma's name, but it's what I call my mom. She's acting a little extra. I say, Anne, I was like, you're so lucky that they didn't like breathalyze you with your drunk ass.
Well, you know, back then it was a little different. Like, I think you could like smoke a cigarette and drink like, I mean,
obviously, it turned out very smart, and as did you.
Yes, yes. Maybe that's the key. We should start advocating for that.
I don't know. But those are your baby parents.
Yes.
And you grew up in Houston, which is also where Beyonce is from.
Yes. I actually tell people that Beyonce and I were best friends at the age of three because we lived in similar neighborhoods. So who knows if we actually played in Sandbox together?
You honestly could have.
We could have.
Yeah.
And like she and I could have been so best friends. We would have cried when we left each other. In my mind, that happened.
Let me tell you one thing really quick.
Okay.
When she was in... No, you. Why do you have that? I wish you guys could see the little face that he just made. He seemed like he got. All I was going to tell you was when I was in seventh grade, Destiny's Child came to my junior high.
No, you're joking.
That's all I was going to say.
No, what do you think my face would meant? I didn't have.
Well,
anything.
You because I said let me tell you something.
Oh no! No, I'm sweating. Oh, you know, I never sweat.
You know, it was so scary. I'm not to talk about this show, but this is just like really organic. It just happened. I was so scared when we did Wendy and. Anthony didn't know what How You Doing met, but you saved him so hard.
Well, that's what we do for each other.
We get up and then we're saving babies. Yeah, we deserve a little baby to save each other.
Yes.
So you were born in Houston.
Yes.
You were coming up through that talent search thing that Beyonce did. You guys were both at the mall.
Yes.
She got shut out. You didn't even make the televising, which is a travesty.
I did not.
nasty.
Hold on, seriously, they came to your school in seventh grade?
Yeah. They did. It was like 2 weeks before Say My Name exploded. Beyonce had a mirror on her private. Everyone was in purple. You know, at that time, they all did the same colors, but they would do like, Michelle would be giving you like a tankini top with like a skirt, and Beyonce would do like kind of like a power suit.
Yeah.
You know, with like everything all cut out.
Yeah.
You know? They were all doing like different moments.
Oh, Tina Knowles.
Yes, yeah, so it was very like House of Darion, and everyone was in purple, but Beyonce, there was mirror accents, and Beyonce had a mirror accent, an oval mirror accent over her chin.
Let me tell you something. If there was a place to ever put a oval mirror accent, it would be over your fachin.
I feel like fachin is like, she's a gorgeous vagina. And I'm grown enough to call it she had a mirror on over her vagina.
Exactly. Okay, I'm with
it. Which is great.
Yeah.
I'm going to call it what she is. So that was cool. But so anyway, so you came up in Houston, and then what happened? Oh my God, because you like went to high school there, junior high.
Well, I went to, so we grew up middle class, and then my father decided that he wanted to be a DJ and like lost everything. And like life just went from like, oh, nice middle class, you know, immigrant family to like extremely poor, like moving out in the middle of the night so that like the landlord didn't know. Cable type deal. But luckily my mother was super, super strong and was amazing. And a part of like my drive comes from watching the decline in the fall and seeing my mother just build us back up. Also during that time, my father was really abusive to my mom. So like he'd be knocking her around and it just was like a very toxic time. And since I was the only boy, I kind of was seeing all of it. I'm trying not to be depressing, but the reason I say this is because it really made me just so like focus, gotta go get it, gotta do it, gotta be open, gotta make life happen.
So what happened? So he became a DJ and you guys had to move?
We lost everything, basically. We lost the house we were living in. We lost the cars. It was like, you know, because he was an accountant before, and then he was going after his dreams, which I still recommend. But I always say, like, just with me, when I became a father, I left social work, but I still was working in social work enough to support my family, where he just said, forget it, I'm going to be a DJ. And
yeah. My stepdad always used to say, like, you know, it's fine to ask the universe for things that you want to change, you know, but like to say, like, I want to become a DJ, and then you just quit everything, and then like you still have to like pedal the bike.
Exactly.
You still got to like be hitting up the people to get the job. Like, you just can't just like.
That's it. That's exactly it. You got to pedal the bike. That's exactly it.
You got to pedal.
And that was the problem. He just decided, we're done now. I'm going to go after this.
Did you move out of Houston at that point?
We did. Well, they got a divorce because of the abuse and the fact that we had lost everything.
And good on her.
Yeah, she was like, I gotta go.
Uh-huh.
But the problem was that when she said she had to go, my father was like, he has to come live with me because I was the only boy and he didn't want me to. And I'm the youngest. My oldest sister had just left to college. And he was like, you have to come with me. So I packed up from Texas and moved to Parkland, Florida, where I went from 9th to 12th grade.
And because he went there to become a DJ or whatever?
Yep. He went there because Miami was like a bustling place. And it's a big, vibrant Caribbean community in Miami.
Jamaicans and Parkland's just like a...
It's like a suburb of there. So it's like a very affluent suburb, but he got an apartment. This is where I will give him his credit. Is he was very strategic in the place he found me because he was like, it's the best school. So he found like the cheapest apartment that I could still be zoned to that school.
Oh, that's cute.
Yes.
So he was looking out for you.
And he always did that. Even when, like, things were going down, he would find little ways to make sure that we were protected enough. Like, okay, we're going to make sure that even though we're moving, if we have to go stay in a hotel, which we did for a little bit, like, the hotel still zoned us to the school so that I could still get my bus. Like, it's messed up in a way, but it also was like...
Kind of sweet.
It's kind of sweet. It's like one of those, like, you know?
Yeah.
So we moved to Parkland, Florida.
Which overlaps, you went to that high school.
Yeah, where the shooting recently happened. Yeah. Which was crazy. And, you know, for the fact that, you know, that school is named after an activist, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. She saved the Everglades. And a lot of people don't know is that what they teach us as students at that school is how to be activists. That's why, as you know me personally, I've been an activist before this TV stuff. It's always like, what issue am I passionate about? How can we talk about it? How can we support it? How can we help people to get involved? And that was the training I got at that school. So when the shooting happened, I wasn't surprised that these students were like, enough is enough, because it's ingrained in you from the first period of your first day of ninth grade to be an activist.
That's amazing.
I know.
Those kids have been so, well, they're not even kids. Those people have been so, inspiring to watch. And I don't think excited is the right word, but I'm like, anticipating great things from their future.
Completely.
Yeah.
I will tell you this, though, that two things really quickly. One is the kids. I was looking on their social medias and talking to them during the march, and a lot of them are being harassed by people. It's like so disgusting how people are attacking children who are speaking up. And I think people don't realize that these are kids and that they should like take a moment to check themselves and say, would I want someone speaking to my child about this way? You know what I mean?
I'm not advocating for the people that are saying bad things, but this is like a disinformation campaign from the NRA that I mean, all those people are like gun yielding. I mean, not all of them because you can't generalize, but the people that are picking on people from like Stoneman Douglas and like the Parkland Surviving Children's like, are obviously being fed this thing of like from the NRA that like you're a bunch of crazy liberals and you're going to take our guns and blah, blah, blah. And actually, I really want to do a podcast with a constitutional scholar about the Second Amendment because I was just reading her the other day and it's essentially something about how like it was meant for like when we were 13 colonies to make sure that like Georgia or like South America didn't get South Carolina, not America, but it was made so that like you wouldn't have a local militia like overthrow the government.
Hold on. Can we just take a moment? Because you couldn't see me going up. If you heard a little finger snap, that's me. Because first of all, you're so correct, which is why I just love you, because you're so smart. And that's the type of information people need, because it's been diluted. And so people get this like misconception. And it's like, go back to the source of what this was about.
Yeah, because it's very taken out of context.
Very taken out of context.
As far as like the rights shouldn't be infringed upon. But I don't think that you can equate owning an AK-47 to the right to bear arms in the way that the Second Amendment is written.
Exactly.
But I really do want to get like a lawyer and a constitutional scholar. Winking to Colin on my left right here, our gorgeous producer. So, but anyway, so you graduated from there. Mm-hmm. And then you were like, I feel like not to like skate out of talking about Parkland like that, like maybe like gorgeous moment of silence
something. No. Well, the thing is, the moment of silence is that's exactly what they don't want.
Oh, yeah, they don't want that.
It's like no silence. We're talking about it. You know what I mean? But through talking about it, we're elevating those lives that were lost and saying, you know what? Never again. And so that's the beauty of what's happening right now, which I think is very special. The other point I was going to make about when interacting with the students is that a lot of them have been thrust into fame, and you know my background in social work. I feel being around them, I realize that they need more people around them. The parents are doing an extremely amazing job.
Just more support.
More support.
More support.
Yeah, I was just like, I was at the CNN building and kids were doing interviews and I was like, they were being handled by producers, the same type of producers that handle us, but we're adults and we're also not dealing with trauma. That I was just kept saying to myself, who is supporting these kids just on that next level to help them? You just watched your friends die a matter of 6 weeks ago in front of you. You're being forced to go back to that school, yet no one is giving you the trauma therapy you need and supporting you, especially as you're telling your story over and over again, re-triggering yourself. And so I just would, you know, any of your viewers that are listening, send love, send support to these kids. But also, you know, if you tweet in a very positive way, because the parents are doing the best job they can, encourage that these kids get more support. That's more so what I want to do.
Cute.
Yeah.
Love.
You know.
Yeah, because everybody just needs more support.
Exactly. All of us.
So so you graduated from there and then you're like minding your own business and then like, bam, you're on the real world. Right?
Kinda. I escaped my father's house because by then I was fully out and it became horrible.
We can't skate over that.
Yes. I came out at 15, 16. And when I came out, it was like...
So in high school?
In high school.
Me too, honey. We're so gay.
Well, honey, that's
I love that. I love that, dude.
We're like, so well, we said already, like, because I played sports and you were a cheerleader, that we would have been the cute couple.
Oh,
we'd have been prom king and queen. I just want to let you know.
If you would have effed me in high school, I would have been, like... beside myself.
Yeah.
Also, I probably would have, like, I feel like I would have got, like, so strung out. You would have been so strung out. You, like, I would have been, like, on your front. Oh my God, we have to take a break. It's in 15 minutes. Maybe that was a good timing for a break. Oh, you're so smart. So that was gorgeous. I will be right back with more Getting Curious and more with Gorgeous Cromo right after this. Summertime is coming and everyone knows it's time to plan a gorgeous vacation. Where are you going? What you doing? Are you taking a lot of friends? Well, if you are taking a lot of friends or if you just want to experience the city that you're going to in a more local, yokel way like I do a lot of times, you know, one thing about renting houses for a vacation with a lot of friends, it's so nice because you can get a little bit more room in the bathroom. Like not everyone is crammed into one bathroom. I went to a vacation rental for my birthday last year and it was the first time that I really felt like a gorgeous adult with my friends on vacation. Like,
I had a seamless, really big bathtub in my bathroom that I could enjoy. There was like not people in my space. And it's nice when you go on vacation with friends to still kind of have the community, but your own space. Like, I don't want to have to babysit for other people and like clean up after them in my little baby bedroom when I'm minding my own business on a vacation. So vacation rentals really are great because everyone can be together, but you can kind of go and check yourself out into your own little room if you need to, and then come back out in the family room when everyone's like, you know, being cute and fun. So I love that moment. Get a house for you and your friends and just have like a cute little vacation moment. Tripping.com is the place to go. You don't have to worry about visiting 10,000 different places and going on Facebook and being like, anyone got a house, or going on that one site and then being like, wait, but what about that other site, honey? You don't have to, because Tripping.com does all of that for you. Vacation rentals offer the most. It's more privacy, more space for everyone, more moments to just experience a city like you actually live there, which is so cute. It's just, hotels are great, but vacation rental is just a different experience. It's a little cuter. It's a little more fun. It's a little bit more like authentic. Am I right? Best of all, the thing about Tripping.com that's super major is that on average, the rates are 80% less than traditional hotel rooms. That is 80% less, honey. Did you hear me right? Let's say it again. 80% less on average than a normal hotel room. I love that story. So this year, save time and save some money when you book your vacation home of your dreams at tripping.com/JVN. That's TRIPPING.com/JVN. One more time, honey. If you did not hear it, get out your pen and paper. Pull your car over. Don't crash. Pull it over. You got to write this down, honey. TRIPPING.com/JVN and find your perfect vacation rental. Tripping.com/JVN. Welcome back to Getting Curious. This is Jonathan Van Ness. We have gorgeous Karamo Brown. We are just catching up on his gorgeous life, seeing more about where he's from. But basically, we were just saying that I would have basically been Ali Larter in that movie with Beyonce and her husband if I had been your high school boyfriend.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Wouldn't that be fierce if there was a gay remake of that, but it was like a la High School and like basically like,
yes.
Who would be your gorgeous man of color new boyfriend who would have to kill me?
Ooh.
Who would be Beyonce in that movie?
Michael B. Jordan, because he is fine as hell. Oh my gosh.
And then basically, like, I was like your ex-serious partner, like, yes. When we were juniors or whatever, but then it didn't work out.
And then
Michael B. Jordan was like the new person. And honestly, I have to say, I think I'd be a great, I would kill him.
But this is the thing.
How dare someone come in here?
But this is the thing. You know what? The roles would be reversed because out of the two of us, I'm more the clingy Scorpio.
No, and you're not.
You're more a cut off. You're like, when you're done, you're done.
Not if you had been my boyfriend, honey.
Aww.
Oh, no. I would have. No.
Is it weird that I just said aw to like a psycho moment?
I would have come unglued. For you to make me so complete as a 17-year-old, just so realized in my full glory of like a grown-ass woman with my man. And have all those gorgeous prom pictures and shit. And then to have you leave me like that, I could kill you just thinking about it. Fuck Michael B. Jordan, I would kill him, I'd kill you. Leave me like that. But anyways, you came out in high school.
I did.
Honestly, we would have been boyfriends. That turned me out so hardcore.
Because I was looking for the gay kid in my school. Because I was like, who am I supposed to date?
And we're
like,
honey, I don't let you tap that so hard.
Baby, we'd have been a mess.
Oh my God, honey. Nasty.
So, I know. came out. It was hard because being from a Caribbean family, you know, his dream as an immigrant was to come here and to give us the best life. And his life did not include being gay. And he couldn't reconcile the destructive constructs of religion with his relationship with me. And that was a very hard thing. So we would go through times in the house where 3 weeks would pass and he wouldn't talk to me.
That does not surprise me. I mean, Jamaica is constantly on that list of like the top five countries that are like the most unaccepting of LGBT people. They have like some of the highest rates of hate crimes. They have that is hard. And I think that is a very difficult burden to bear for you, I would think.
It truly was. But the thing, and not to keep on making it seem like there's lessons out of everything, but there were for me. It when I became a father, it helped me to realize that if I have an issue with my child, it's communication, never silence. I will say on the opposite side, in my personal life, I'm one of those people that when I feel wronged, I go silent on a person. Like I just go silent and mean. And when I do that, I see my father. So when I see that in myself, it's always a constant thing that I have to work on because you don't realize that that behavior as a child is learned and it sticks with you and it's a constant fight for me.
Well, Because, you know, I mean, homophobia is something that, I mean, it's not like all Jamaican people, but I think it really it's like in the Caribbean. Yeah. Isn't it kind of more wide? It's like in your experience, have like, especially since Queer Eye has come out, have you felt any blowback from that part? Or have you felt, or have you had anyone like be really like supportive as a result of your Jamaican heritage or any negative stuff?
Well, as you already know, like African and Caribbean countries usually have a high amount of homophobia because of the colonization, you know, like whites came in with Christianity and were like, these are our rules and this is how we're going to do this. A lot of those places, African countries actually supported homosexuality until they got colonized and Christianity came in. And so these are just, you know, these things are learned behaviors for them as well of like, okay, we're going to adapt this sort of way of life. And, you know, what always surprised me, a little small tangent, is that it's, even though I am a Christian, I do believe in God, I don't necessarily take every account of the Bible because I understand that the Bible has been used historically to keep African Americans in slavery, in bondage. And the same thing when you come to the Bible, I'm always like, so it hurts. It's hard. It makes sense why it's like that. But things are getting better. The Prime Minister of Jamaica just supported like 2 years ago or 3 years ago the first prides there. There was no violence at the prides. They're trying to do more with like the transgender community there. They're working with the UN finally. It's slow, very slow. But, you know, there's conversations. So things are moving. And that's, you know, what is great about it.
Yay.
I know, right? Small movement.
I mean, but also like in Grenada, like they just like undid, I think it was Grenada, but they just like undid gay marriage and made it like civil partnership again and like took away a lot of like the same rights that are afforded. Right. It's like, but you know, whatever. I mean, homophobia, she's like a thing. She's a bitch. She's here to stay. We're going to have to keep working on her.
I don't think she's here to stay. I think it's just going to be more, it's like we have to break down these systems.
Not to quote lines from The Real World, but don't you remember Melissa in New Orleans when they were talking about racism and she was like, ignorance is here to stay. And she bounced her little hand on the table like that.
If you're going to quote A Real World, you better be quoting My Real World. Okay. I can't even believe you quoted Melissa from New Orleans and I'm in front of you. Like, I'm so hurt right now.
Don't act like you think that I watched it. And unfortunately.
Hold on. Did you ever see my season of Real World?
No. The only thing I ever saw in your season was when you, I literally only saw the one episode when it was on, like in the time I was 17. I was very much in college. Sorry.
No worries. Listen, I had just gotten out of college. We're not that much further.
Oh, yo.
We're not that much.
Ooh, I'm so young.
There's a 6-year difference between us.
I'm so young. But when I was so young, when you were already on TV, just kidding.
I know you are.
You know, I want to smack your dick on my face. We have to cut that. Oh, no, we can keep that. That's cute. That's cute. That's cute. I can't help this. This is an authentic podcast. But with that, the gun episode was the only thing I ever saw.
Oh, yeah.
And not even because like, I tried to, it was just like on TV, and I was like, this is messed up.
Oh,
like,
my God.
That's the only thing I remember thinking was like, this is so messed up.
The funny part is that I get these tweets, and they're like from people who knew me from Real World and who watch Queer Eye as well. And they're like, can you stop having cop moments on TV? Because like on The Real World, basically my roommates and I were in a club and all these cops surrounded me and were like, we got anonymous tip that you have a gun. And like they basically wanted to arrest me and throw me out. And luckily I knew my rights and were able to get out of it. And my roommates and I had a big thing because they were like, it could have happened to anyone. And I was like, it happened to me, the only black guy in an all white club.
Yeah.
And then with Queer Eye, when we got signed by Corey and, you know, his nominator, they were like, can you stop attracting police officers? But the difference is that the first time around, I didn't know how to handle that conversation. And also, I didn't have the support that I had from you all as the Fab Five, where now what we did on our show, High Five, Jonathan, we like opened up so many eyes and just makes me so proud.
Good.
So proud. So proud.
But that was like, that was the only episode of, because your season was the.
I did a lot of like getting out the shower scenes all the time.
Oh, I bet you did, honey. You love that moment.
Honey, you know I do.
You love that moment.
I love it.
But wait, what city was it?
Philadelphia. The city of brotherly love.
City of brotherly love. And because I've told you this before that my last season that I was obsessed with was Vegas. I loved me
all
some Trishelle.
Oh my gosh. I still love Trishelle.
I love me some Trishelle.
Have you seen her recently?
No.
She's getting prettier.
Like, I love that.
Prettier.
My grandma was like that. Yeah. She never did a thing to her face, I swear to God, and she just got cuter and cuter and
Isn't
cuter.
Isn't that crazy how, like, people age backwards? I'm one of those people. I'm aging backwards because I look
so
older
true.
When I was on Real World than I do now.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're always just getting better.
Amen. All things keep getting better.
How was that experience for you, the Real World, from beginning to end? Like, was it
how, in your book, what would you say about her?
So when I was on The Real World, it was probably one of the worst experiences of my life. But after, because I felt alone, I felt isolated. I had been stripped out of what I knew to be true and was being challenged consistently by people that I wasn't ready to be challenged by. And I was challenging them as well, but we were too young. And the thing is that there was no one there to help us navigate these conversations. So instead of having talks, we were a reality show. We were just blowing up. It was like someone said race, someone said slut shame, anything. And we, instead of being like, let's talk through this, it was like, blah, 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 fuck you. And, you know, it was hard. But the minute I got the show and was able to watch myself at the age of 23 and see how I behaved, it was mind-blowing. And I would recommend every person to have someone follow you around for 3 months to show you how you act. And I promise you, you'll change for the better. Because it's one thing for someone to say to you, this is how I received what you said, or this is how you reacted. But to actually watch it back is like, oh my gosh. And there's no amount of editing that can't show you exactly what you said and then let you see how it affected someone else. It was amazing. So on the show, couldn't stand it. After the show, most thing I was most thankful for.
Very many lessons. And then, you know, you did like, you kind of really like triple axel and landed it.
Yes,
like,
honey.
From a Real World moment.
Yes, honey.
Like high relevance.
Yes.
Yeah, like you couldn't help it that you were like, because tell me my favorite thing about your career pre-Queer Eye, post-Real World. Don't act like you don't know.
I had a second chances.
No.
You call it that.
That's, I know I called that, but I don't.
I was like, that's the only thing you ever talk about.
Okay, first of all, like, I could honestly smack you in the face for that because, like, do I make fun of that show?
Yes, all the time.
Yes.
And I love it.
Because I didn't understand, like, what hashtag I had a second chances was, nor do I think a lot of people did, because it's hard to understand what that is. And if MTV wants to take that note, you know, maybe they'll think of cuter hashtags.
Don't worry. Time. They've already canceled it. So no one needs to worry about that show. Yeah. This is a show that I hosted right before I got Queer Eye.
And it was called Are You the One?
Yes.
But their hashtag chances. Was I to Second Chances. And I just felt like that was very weird.
I did love the show.
And it was a great show.
Yeah, but my series, it's no
That's
longer.
That's so rude of me.
No,
But my personal highlight for your career pre-Queer Eye and post-Real World was obviously your time at OWN.
Oh, yes, with Mama Oprah.
Yeah,
yes.
Like that would be something that I would be really yes, touting as right. over I had a second chance. not to throw shit, you know.
No shade, honey.
But OWN, honey.
Yes, so after The Real World and having a life of drugs and partying and just being destructive, I found out I was a father and decided to leave the industry. And then 4 years ago, I decided to come back to the industry. And I don't know if you know this. The only reason I got back into the industry is because my youngest son, Chris, who you know, was writing a paper about living your dreams. And he asked me if I was living my dream. And I was like, either I can lie and say yes or say no. But if I said no, I had to model the proper behavior. So I said no. And he was like, well, what are you going to do about it? And I made a plan at that point, unlike my father, an eight-month plan to quit my job, save money, and go after my dreams. And my first job out was hired by Oprah.
Cute.
Yes. So all this like feely touchy making people cry, honey, Oprah taught me that.
I love that.
Yes.
We're just like touching into people's vulnerability.
Baby, that's what it's all about.
I'm all about, well, I mean, I love Brene Brown. I obviously like quote her all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm obsessed with her.
She's amazing. And have you ever seen my interviews with her?
No.
I'm gonna have to give you clips.
You told me a little bit about it and I was really intrigued.
I know. Yeah. But that was the beginning. Can I tell you this quick story about mm-hmm. that? When I auditioned for that, they only wanted a white man and two women of color. That's what was their demographic. You know what I mean? Like, it's fine. You know, sometimes, you know, it wasn't like they only wanted all white or all African-American. They were trying to.
Yeah, I get it.
You know, but I was like, they are only saying that because they haven't seen me. So I crashed the audition and was the only brother in there and got the job.
Cute.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just like, it's better to ask forgiveness.
That's exactly it. It was like, and especially when you know in your heart, this is your dream, you can't be afraid of no. And that's what I learned from that experience. Like, I went there and they said no, and I said, I'm going to come back. Because I was like, I know if the right person has an opportunity to see me, that I'll get the job. And I, you know, not doing anything too aggressive or anything, but just saying like, I'm here. And if you have an opportunity to see me, I'm going to see me. And the girl was like, fine, come on. And, you know, shout out to Kierith Lemon for doing that for me. Thank you. And
cute.
I got the job.
We love her.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that is very true, especially like if I think of like every time
that I like had, like, I mean, I think any actor or any person who has to audition for things, it's like, there's so many times where I was like, oh my God, I guess it's not going to happen, or that show isn't going to happen, or whatever. Like, and if you would have ever said no, like, then wherever you got now, like, wouldn't have happened because you would have said no.
Amen.
So then you should have to say yes. But then also it's like that tricky thing of like, I'm fucking tired. Like, I don't want to go to that fucking thing, you know? But I think there's a difference between, like, self-care and boundaries and saying no to, like, engagements versus, like, you know, pushing yourself to, like, go, like, chase your dreams.
Yes, completely. And that's the thing. If you really want it, you got to show up for yourself. That's the first thing.
Monsieur Karamo Brown, what? So it's been 30 minutes. That's usually when we start to wrap up our...
It's been 30 minutes already?
Yep.
See, this is the problem with you and I, because I actually love you, is that I can have an organic conversation with you for 4 hours and it feels like 1 minute. 30 minutes? Are you kidding?
I mean, like, you were off on that entire analogy because it wasn't 4 hours or a minute. It was just 30 minutes.
I'm saying, but it felt like.
But I feel like you overshot it and you undershot it. You know what I mean?
I did.
I mean, it did work. It could have worked.
It could have.
Or no, maybe it did and I didn't get it.
No, it didn't work. It didn't.
Maybe it did and I didn't get it.
No, it didn't work.
Maybe what happened was it did and I didn't get it.
No,
I think it did.
Okay.
But what do you think that, what are the kids, what do you want them to know? I mean, it's, she's getting curious. We're here.
Yes.
Like, what do you feel? Was there a question I didn't ask you that I should have?
No, we covered a lot. Like, we were like this, honey. We were like this.
You can't keep them waiting for answers.
Listen, we cannot. You got to go for it. There's nothing, you know, first of all, I want to say congratulations to you. This is amazing. And I'm so proud of you. And I tune in. I love it. And I'm just so glad the world is seeing the Jonathan that we fell in love with.
Do you guys want to know a little story about getting curious?
Yes.
So I'm just going to leave this little nook and cranny here because this is how I roll. Little known fact about getting curious. She was canceled off of the network that she used to be on, which I've never responded to publicly. Yes. I never made a mention of it because I was like, I don't do negativity. It's not my thing. It's not on brand for me. Mm-hmm. So it was canceled from where she used to be. And it was canceled the day before I found out I booked Queer Eye. And I said to myself, well, this is something I've really loved doing. I've done it relatively alone. And I could stop doing it and leave it where she was. Unfortunately, it's something I'm really passionate about and I love to learn. And so I'm just going to keep doing it, even if like 11 people listen to her.
Listen.
And now she's got the number two. She was number two on the good.
Yes!
So sometimes.
I was going about to be number one. Are you kidding me?
So sometimes you do have to like chase your Julia Roberts moment.
Thank you. It's what we just said. You know what? I would want to make sure that people know that they should get curious about their own lives. And go after those dreams. We just gave you two prime examples. Trying to get rid of this show, all of this. And we said, not today. Not today, Satan.
I said, I don't need a man to make me feel good. I get up. That doesn't really apply here, but I do love that Pussycat Dolls song. I really do.
I thought you were going to go into Beyonce. Can we go out to a Beyonce song?
We always go out to my signature song, which is this really cute song called Freak by Quinn.
I know.
Thank you so much to her for letting us use it.
Yes.
I always say that. Too. I just went into my autopilot. But Karamo, I love you so much. Thanks for coming.
I love you more. Thank you.
You've been listening to Getting Curious with me, Jonathan Van Ness, and my guest this week was Karamo Brown. You'll find links to Karamo's socials on whatever machine you're listening to this show on. Follow me on Instagram at JVN. Our theme music is Freak by Quinn. Thank you so much for letting us use it, my love. It really is so gorgeous. And also, if you enjoyed the show, please tell your friends, tell your mom, tell your sister, tell your boss, tell your kid's principal. Who else could you tell? You could tell a stranger. You could tell someone at Starbucks. You can put it on your Insta stories. I love it when y'all be putting it on your Insta stories, honestly. I do. I do. I love it. Tag it. Hashtag it. Getting curious. See you next time. Love you. Bye.